Imagine a society where your energy, your very life force, can be siphoned away to make others stronger. This is the Katanan Republic, where citizens are divided into 8 ranks, from the lowly octavus to the supreme princeps. At age 12, everyone undergoes the Aurora Columnae ritual, permanently giving a portion of their mental and physical energy, their will, to those above them. An octavus gives to all but receives nothing. A princeps draws power from over 40,000 people, wielding almost godlike abilities. Stronger together is the Republic's mantra, suggesting this arrangement benefits everyone. But the truth is far darker. The system primarily serves those at the top, while keeping the masses weakened and dependent. This physical manifestation of energy flowing upward brilliantly illustrates what often remains hidden in our own world, how systems of privilege extract resources from many to benefit few. What makes this power structure so insidious is that it requires the participation of those it oppresses. Once you've undergone the ritual, you have little choice but to accept your place. The Republic's stability depends on this complicity, a chilling reflection of how real-world hierarchies perpetuate themselves through the normalized participation of those they disadvantage. This, a prison guard, secretly lives as Diago, the escaped prince of conquered Seuss, whose family was overthrown. Having avoided the Aurora Columna ritual, he retains full control of his will, unlike most citizens. His life changes when Quintus Ulsicor Telemus, a high-ranking military official, uncovers his identity and offers a choice. Spy on religion at the Catanan Academy or surrender his will through the ritual. The Academy reflects broader society. Students advance through 7 classes based on supposed merit, with top performers keeping their will. Behind this meritocratic facade, the Republic's 3 factions, military, religion, and governance, engage in political maneuvering. Viz's story compels through his struggle with divided loyalties. His growing friendships with students Calidus, Eden, and Amisa provide crucial allies yet create vulnerabilities. His journey presents a fundamental dilemma. Work within a corrupt system for gradual change, or oppose it directly despite the risks. Work hard and you'll succeed. This promise rings hollow at the Katanan Academy, where connections and class trump talent and effort. Viz quickly discovers the system is rigged against the disadvantaged. When defending a lower-ranked student from bullying, Viz faces punishment despite being right. His advancement is blocked by biased instructors, while less talented students from powerful families progress easily. Even the Academy's architecture reinforces inequality. Lower-ranked students live in cramped dormitories, while higher classes enjoy private rooms with sea views. As Calidus explains, admission intake is calculated based on anticipated openings in the hierarchy. They want to make sure that when we graduate, they can shift people around to more regional pyramids if needed. The system isn't designed to reward merit, but to maintain power structures while appearing fair. This mirrors our world's elite universities that claim merit-based admission while favoring legacy students and the privileged. Through the will-seeding mechanism, the novel forces us to confront how institutions often reproduce rather than challenge social hierarchies. At the Academy, students train in the labyrinth, a complex maze controlled by will-imbued bracers. Partners must coordinate perfectly as one navigates while the other manipulates walls, a relationship that grows more competitive over time. The labyrinth functions as a powerful metaphor throughout the story. Its shifting walls mirror the unpredictable changes in alliances and enemies. The student controlling the maze reflects unseen powers manipulating events from above, while Viz's navigation skills foreshadow his ability to maneuver through the hierarchy's complex power dynamics. A darker significance emerges when Viz discovers the labyrinth's true origins in ancient ruins beneath the Academy. Glowing writing and hundreds of impaled corpses warn, "Obiteum is lost, do not open the gate, Synchronous is death." revealing the labyrinth isn't merely a training tool, but connected to something sinister predating the cataclysm. The labyrinth suggests we often navigate social systems whose origins have been obscured, institutions built on forgotten foundations of violence, twisted to serve those in power. During the Festival of Yovan, this witnesses a naumachia, a staged naval battle in Katyn's arena where an artificial saltwater lake hosts full-size ships. The combatants are mostly criminals fighting for a slim chance of pardon. This spectacle exemplifies how the hierarchy maintains control through regulated violence and entertainment. By transforming execution into performance, the Republic normalizes cruelty while providing audience catharsis. Spectators' bloodlust is satisfied within boundaries that preserve social order. This managed spectacle collapses when Estevan, the Anguish rebel leader, interrupts using mysterious power that nullifies will. He transforms the arena into a slaughterhouse, killing thousands and converting the naumachia from a symbol of strength into evidence of vulnerability. Modern parallels exist in our society, from reality television exploiting participants' desperation to sports events channeling tribal instincts into profitable entertainment. These spectacles direct potentially disruptive energies into controlled outlets, demonstrating how entertainment becomes a tool for social control and how destabilizing it is when that control suddenly fails. The Angus Rebellion embodies one of the novel's most thought-provoking elements. They initially appear as potential heroes fighting oppression, but their methods raise disturbing ethical questions. Led by Estevan, Arturus Melior Laos, the Angus oppose the will-seeding system and fight for those at the bottom of the hierarchy, especially the exploited Octavia. Their cause seems righteous, until we witness their tactics. At the Nomakia, Estevan slaughters thousands indiscriminately. When confronted about killing innocents, he coldly justifies, "We are what they make us," arguing that participation in the Republic's institutions equals complicity in its injustices. The moral ambiguity deepens when Viz discovers the rebels are being manipulated by military factions, unwittingly serving one elite group against another while believing they fight for freedom. This complexity forces us to confront uncomfortable questions. Is violence justified against systemic oppression? Can revolution succeed without corruption? How does one determine innocence in a system where everyone participates? None of us get out without scars. These words from Viz's final test encapsulate a central theme. Power always exacts a price, leaving marks both visible and hidden. Viz bears literal scars from refusing the Aurora Columnae ritual, marks of torture representing his rejection of the system. These scars become connection points with others similarly marked, though each interprets their trauma differently. The scarred man during the Judicium shows how power marks those who wield it. His casual violence suggests power requires sacrificing humanity. This theme culminates when Viz loses his left arm in the labyrinth, a physical loss reflecting his psychological transformation. These scars reveal how power systems mark everyone. Those at the bottom bear visible wounds of oppression, while those who rise suffer invisible but profound damage to their moral compass and empathy. The novel challenges us to examine our own scars and question what parts of ourselves we've sacrificed to advance or survive, asking whether any power truly justifies such cost.